Today on Real Radio.
You know, your kids might look and, oh, you've got such a big Bible, Mom, or such a big Bible, Dad. It doesn't mean anything unless it's well worn. It doesn't mean anything unless it's applied. We can take in so much knowledge, but is it being lived out in our lives? What did Eli's sons witness?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. And Pastor Jack has been in a multi-part mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Now, sadly, the book tells of how Israel once again had to deal with their old enemies, the Philistines. And this time around, Israel was defeated, quite badly as a matter of fact, having lost tens of thousands of their own fighting men. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called When the Glory Has Departed.
This chapter is dealing with the horrible truth that Israel has in fact departed from its dependence upon God. We see how in chapter 4, verse 1, Samuel begins to speak to the nation the word of God, but they have no appetite to listen. And they take it upon themselves to go to battle. And there is that age-old enemy, those warlike, brutal men that represent the flesh, and Israel to be representing a people governed by God, and they go to battle. And so the Philistines are lined up, Israel's lined up, they get ready to go to battle, and clash, the war commences, and immediately, right from the start, Israel loses 4,000 men. And they're defeated. They go back to regroup, and rather than call upon God and seek his face, they call for the ark. Get the ark here. Bring the hardware instead of God. They put their trust in the box, the ark, rather than God. And so as they bring the ark in, the children of Israel begin to scream and yell and hoot and holler, so much so the ground begins to shake. And the Philistines across the way, they hear this great, great cheering, and fear strikes them, and they say, uh-oh, the Ark of the Covenant of God has come among the children of Israel. We've heard about what happens. We've heard about what went on in battles in the past. We better muster ourselves for war, because if we don't whip Israel, we'll be their slaves. And so the enemy rallies itself, the flesh rallies itself against the spirit and goes to war. However, in this case, God is not with them because they're putting their trust in things and they are overwhelmingly taken captive. In fact, the ark, as we'll see next time together, is taken away and Eli's sons are killed and there's a great slaughter. All because Israel trusted in the arm of the flesh rather than in God. And so as we've been going through this chapter, we've studied a few things. And as we look at it, and you might want to remember that we're considering 10 areas of defeat that happen in our lives where the glory departs. And in the context of our study, we're talking about the believer. We're not caring about the non-believer. We're talking about the glory departing from those who profess Christ to know the Lord. We need to remember that. We need to maintain the edge, which is the key to our spiritual growth. They lost it. We need to learn from their mistake. If you're taking notes tonight, you might want to jot down Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, where the Bible says there, "But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." That verse speaks about us continuing, that we've got to make an effort to continue. Listen, everybody, Christianity, though it is a gift given to us by God, that he's called us freely by his grace and his mercy, The very faith that he gives us is a gift. But we are not to sit idle on that. We are to act upon it. We are to be diligent people about what he has given us. And we are to, as Jude says, keep ourselves in the love of God. That is an effort on our part to seek the Lord. When you wake up tomorrow morning, the Bible is just not going to automatically download into your heart. You've got to pursue it. Very important that we continue to remember that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, there the Bible says, therefore, as you have always obeyed, not as Paul says here, in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, wait a minute. Who's at work here? Me or God? Listen, God's at work by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. But you and I are to cooperate with him. We are to, as Paul says here, work out our own salvation. That doesn't mean we work to obtain salvation or even work to keep it. But we are to give ourselves to God. They failed at that. We don't want to fail at that. We want to continue on. And so in our study tonight, we come to number 3 out of the 10. When the glory is departed, listen, number 3, there will be no spiritual posterity. There will not be a handing down to our children what God has done in our lives. Listen, Eli failed miserably at this, and we know from the chapters that we've read thus far that his own children became horrible servants, if you can even use that term, of God. They led the people astray. They didn't lead people to God. They led people away from God. And so Eli's family, what can we learn from it? Though he was a priest of God, his children failed terribly. The failing of passing on the importance of worship and of commitment to our kids. Listen, mom and dad, and those of you who might ever consider or want to be parents, and of course the application is much broader than that, but as we look to Eli, consider a few things here. Children must see us worship. The question that we have tonight is, did Eli's kids see him worshiping God? What kind of home did they grow up in? You say, well, Jack, they grew up in the priest home. But what does that mean? Just because Eli was a priest, just because you might be an usher or you might have a big Bible, you know, your kids might look and, oh, you've got such a big Bible, mom, or such a big Bible, dad. It doesn't mean anything unless it's well worn. It doesn't mean anything unless it's applied. We can take in so much knowledge, but is it being lived out in our lives? What did Eli's sons witness? We don't know, but we have to ask the question, did they see him worship? Everybody, our children must see us worship. Worship creates within us and our kids a tender heart. A tender heart. Worship accomplishes things in our lives that we will never be able to do in and of ourselves. That when they see us bow our hearts and our heads and our bodies before the Lord and seek him, when they hear us say, praise the Lord, and mean it, it will do something to them. Now, granted, cheer up, mom and dad. Your kids may not fall on the ground and lie prostrate before the Lord and sing hallelujahs, but I guarantee you, if you're seeking God in due time, listen, they're going to pick it up. Our kids are being taught much more by what they see than what they hear. Remember that. What is and what are the things that our kids are seeing us do? Did Eli's kids see him worship? I love this. Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua and said to him, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan River, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over unto the other side and leave them at the place of your lodging tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed, there from the 12 tribes, one man from every tribe. And so Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, before your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone upon your shoulder according to the number of the tribes. And so they did that. And Joshua went on to tell them that what this means is that it's a memorial to all of your children from this time on. When their kids, the posterity of those that God was using, when they would see the stones, they would say, hey, this is where our mom and dad worshiped. This was the altar. And by the way, in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 on, it says there that that stone altar is there until this day. It was at the time of Joshua's writing. It's there to this day. What I love, if you read the fine print, Joshua, by the way, goes back himself. If you remember our study in Joshua, and he takes 12 stones and stacks them up in the middle of the riverbed in a stack, his own 12 stones, and then the Jordan River flows over and it goes again. And you say, well, what's all about that? Well, there were 12 stones publicly out in the open and 12 stones privately that Joshua had set up. Both of them speak of worship. We should be worshiping God publicly, and we should be worshiping God privately. And I think when we worship God privately, our kids are bound to see it. And I'm not saying that you should show off in home in your worship, but I think that it's a great thing for you to have your kids hear you worship the Lord. You say, well, Jack, I don't sing very well. I don't sing good either. But I tell you what, you don't have to sing to worship. You can worship the Lord in your prayer time over your children, or you can worship the Lord even at table when it's time to eat. When you say, thank you, Lord, so much for these wonderful things that you've put on the table tonight, God, that's worship. It makes their heart tender. What would have Eli's sons turned out like if their hearts would have been tender? They wouldn't have prostituted the worship of the Lord that we see so often going on with them. Tragically, in this chapter, their lives are going to come to an end because they weren't serious about the Lord. Not only that, but listen, they need to hear why we worship. We need to tell our kids why it's important. Are our kids seeing us worship God and honor Him? They need to. They need to know it. And mom and dad, it's not too late to start. You can start tonight. You can start tomorrow. You can just do it. And they'll see. And they'll hear the great things of God. It's an awesome thing. Also, concerning the posterity and the lack thereof of spiritual growth in Eli's life, listen, our kids need to know who we worship. We need to tell them who God is. We need to tell them He's the Creator. Hey, when you get on Nature TV or Discovery or whatever, you're watching the National Geographic, when they're talking about evolution and stuff, that's okay. Don't turn it off. Teach your kids. Tell them, listen, Junior, when that guy mentions evolution, that's just for people who don't believe in God. That's their excuse. But listen, Junior, you see that funky little lizard with the eyes that go all kind of independent, weird? God did that. You see that neat platypus that looks all confusing and nobody can explain? God did that. You see the whale, how he does it? God did that. Tell them the wonderful works of who God is. That's the great thing. Point them to God. Let's worship God. They might say, well, God who? The God who's the Creator, the God of our Bible, the God who came and died on the cross for us. The great Creator. Psalm 34:11 says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 2. Another great scripture that tells us how God is the Creator. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We've gone through these verses. They're great to know. We want to pass them on to our kids. When the glory has departed from a believer's life, know this. Number four, there will be no spiritual awareness. You'll grow dull in your spiritual awareness. I made a jot down here in my notes, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but this is a Wednesday night. I don't think it would offend anybody here on a Wednesday night. But in the United States, and maybe it's true everywhere, I don't know, but in America, you know, there's this interesting species of Christian. They show up on Easter, Christmas, they do their little thing, and away they go. They're not aware. If you talk to them, they'll often say, well, I used to go to church all the time. What happened? They will argue tooth and nail to convince you that they're going to heaven. And you know, maybe they are. Maybe they're in a backslidden state. I don't know. I'm not going to judge that. It's not my place. But the thing is, they're not hungry for God anymore. There's not an awareness. They're not wanting to be in tune with what God is saying and what God's doing. Is that happening in your life? Do you recognize that happening to you right now? That there's not an intense passion for God. Your spiritual awareness is dwindling. That's a scary place. Very quickly, how do we recognize if our spiritual awareness is going away? Number one, there'll be no interest in spiritual things. There's just no interest anymore. You don't see behind the scenes anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm assuming tonight that when you turn on the news or when you watch a program, as I believe Christians would do, is you see the truth behind what's being pushed. When you hear the news, listen, don't believe what you hear. There's a spin on it. ABC, it's quite funny, you know, if you're a junkie like I am with news, you'll hear ABC News spin it their way. You'll hear NBC spin it their way. You'll hear Fox spin it their way. You'll hear end up, they all spin it. It's all spinned up and confused and crazy. Well, how are we going to know what's happening? I don't know if we can know, but I know the one who knows. How are you going to make it make any sense to you when the media can't even make any sense of it? When somebody broadcasts something into my house from Beijing, I don't know what's going on in Beijing, but God does. But spiritually, we can look behind the scenes. There'll be a program on, and spiritually, we can see the message that they're trying to pump into our kids. But when you've lost that awareness, you become lazy about things like that. You're not on the edge, so to speak. You're not watching. And so you'll say to your kids, well, it's okay to watch that movie. It's got this or that, and it's only got some nudity in it. You've lost the edge. You're allowing your kids to fall and to look to your example. And what about your falling? No spiritual awareness anymore. You'll really embrace anything and you just tolerate it. Not good. Not good at all. Another thing that we're warned about is that there'll be no thought of God's presence. There'll be no thought of God's presence when there's no spiritual awareness in our lives. God is someone we think about sometimes. And listen, if we're slip or backsliding, or the glory is departing from our lives, there will be such a loss of thought regarding this presence that time will go on and you'll be reminded that you're a believer. You'll be reminded that God is there. He's not a constant thought. It's almost a second thought or a third thought or a fourth thought. Oh yeah, God. If the weather's not all that hot this weekend, it's not all that good, we'll probably go to church. But, you know, if the sun breaks, well, you know, we can blow off church. We'll head down to the beach. Your kids know this. They'll pick up on it. Not to mention that we hurt the heart of the Lord. Be careful when you lose the thought of his presence, because in the book of Judges 17, verse 6, the scripture says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does that not sound like where we live? When God is not in the thoughts of people, they'll do whatever is right in their own eyes. That's called anarchy. And we are close, are we not? Why? Because no one in that arena is retaining God in their mind. You say, well, hey, I may be backslidden, but I'm not going to go loot anybody. Oh, I believe you. You're probably not going to go loot anybody. But what in the world are you doing having a low thought life of God? You need to repent and come back to Him. You need to break it off of what you're tampering with. You need to stop flirting with that guy and stop flirting with that woman who's married to somebody else. You need to stop playing with the money drawer or whatever it is in your life and get right with Him. There's no thought of God anymore. He's not hot on your heart, so you do anything almost, you know? We need to be careful. This is how Israel began to fall in little things. Nobody woke up and said, man, it's a great day to backslide. It slowly happens. No deep considerations. That is, they're not weighing themselves in the presence of God. It's a very dangerous thing. Number five, when the glory is departed, there'll be no spiritual dependence upon God. Remember, the sons of Eli called for the ark to bring it in, not God. Those boys were priests. They were to call upon God for help. When God had 4,000 men be slain, that was a warning. The nation should have fallen on their face and sought God. Listen, I don't want to be misunderstood with what I'm about to say. We are not those of the New Age, and we're into karma. Well, you know, I need to do good things so good things will happen to me. If that's your motive for doing good things, maybe you are in Eastern mysticism. I don't know. You should be doing good things to people because God's good and He loves you and He's done great things in your life and my life to forgive us. And so we want to bless people. That should be our motive, that it blesses the heart of God. But there are people who think, well, you know, I need to do good or I don't want to have anything bad come upon me. Man, you've been reading your horoscope instead of your Bible. That's a mess. What's very, very terrible about this is that people will so often become dependent on the external things rather than God, and they'll almost treat their Christian walk like a superstitious thing. Call for the ark and we'll win the war. Call for the ark? The ark was only a box. Yeah, but that's where we put God, in a box. So bring the box. God doesn't live in a box. It's amazing to me that these men were falling on the left and on the right hand to death, and they called for a box of wood covered with gold, and they said, if we get that in the midst of us, we'll win the battle. You see, well, how does that tie into our lives? Self-dependence or no dependence upon God? Listen, in Christian homes, as long as the check is coming in, the money's flowing, they're fine. The moment the money stops, husband and wife, they're at each other's throats.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When the Glory Has Departed. An insightful look at the first 11 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Again, the title, When the Glory Has Departed. In fact, it's a multi-part mini-series taken from this passage, which means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's Monday, which means that you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can catch it on his channel, hischannel.com. And on some of our recent Real Life with Jack Hibbs television programs, we've been presenting some informative and insightful discussions on marriage as seen through Scripture. Now, if you missed any of them, there is the video on demand feature right there at hischannel.com. So just go to hischannel.com, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel. You can also visit our very own realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then simply click on the link. It's real easy. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.